This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal'aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wala udwana illa ala al-zalimeen. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, if I asked you, do you have a key in your pocket? Yes, everyone has a key in his pocket. Car keys, yes. And if I asked you, this key in your pocket, is there a reason for this key? Do you have a purpose for this key? And you will answer, yes, it is a car key. I open the door of my car with it, and then I drive the car with it. And if I asked you, what is the purpose of those glasses that are on your eyes? You will tell me the purpose of it is to see with it. And if I asked you, what is the purpose of that pen that is in your pocket? You will say, I use it to write. And if I asked you, what is the purpose of this and that? You will say, it is this and that. So my brothers, I ask you, can the key, which is such a minute thing, can the needle, the sewing needle, which is such a minute thing, have a purpose? And you, the human being, does not have a purpose? Can something so minute, so minuscule, so insignificant have a purpose? And you, the human being, the most beautiful of creations of Allah, the most perfect of creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not have a purpose as well? Verily, you do have a purpose. And the more nobler you are, the more significant you are, the more nobler and more significant your purpose. My brothers, indeed, the human being, we have a indeed glorious purpose. A glorious purpose. So let us see, what is this purpose? What is the purpose of our creation? I am sure that you will all agree. That if I told you the purpose of creation is satisfaction, will you agree with me? Yes, the purpose of creation is to satisfy ourselves, correct or not? Yes, that is true. Because every one of us strives to satisfy ourselves, whether it be satisfy our inner feelings, our soul, our heart, satisfy our desire to eat, satisfy our desire for women, satisfy our desire to live well. This is the purpose of creation, correct or not? Yes, this is why we search for money in order to satisfy ourselves. This is why we search for beautiful women in order to satisfy ourselves. This is why we search for music in order to satisfy ourselves. This is why we search for drugs, sex and rock and roll to satisfy ourselves. Is that not so? Yes, this is the Western philosophy. Yes, this is the Western philosophy that indeed satisfaction is your real purpose, to satisfy yourselves. However, you see, there is a problem, a major problem, something perhaps you do not look at, something perhaps that might have bypassed you, and that to really search for true satisfaction, you cannot find true satisfaction in money or women or music or drugs. No, you cannot find true satisfaction in this. My brother, true satisfaction is not in this. Wallahi, wallahi, thumma wallahi. I swear by Allah, true satisfaction is not in this. How? Let us see logically how really the true satisfaction is not really in this. Let's take for example money. Have you seen someone with a lot of money? Someone with millions and millions and millions. Have you seen this person? Wallahi, I'll tell you this. And you can take it written from me, that this person hardly has any satisfaction. Why? Because he goes to bed and he's worried about his money. And he goes to sleep and he's worried about his money. And he's dreaming about his money and he's worried how will he look after his money. He is worried, will the stock price go up? He is worried, will the stock price go down? He cannot find trustworthy people. He is worried that tomorrow the bank needs money from him and he does not have the money to pay it. He is worried. The person is rich beyond measure. However, he has no satisfaction. And what about the person who finds satisfaction in women? Who finds satisfaction in beautiful women? Is he satisfied? Is he truly satisfied? Wallahi, he's not. Why? Because let's say he marries a very beautiful woman. And then he goes for a trip. Let's say he goes to Malaysia for a business trip. Then he's worried. What is he worried about? Perhaps his beautiful wife is not satisfied with him. Perhaps his beautiful wife wants someone else. And he is worried. Don't you see the West? Don't you see how many rich people have married so many beautiful women? And then they are all afraid and they actually take personal detectives in order to look after their wives, make sure their wives are not actually flirting around. They don't find satisfaction in these beautiful women. Why? Because they're constantly afraid that either they are not being able to satisfy, they have not been able to satisfy them, or perhaps their wives are just frivolous creatures looking for pleasure in other ways. Subhanallah. Where is the pleasure then? Where is the pleasure in your money? Where is the pleasure in your women, my brothers? Or perhaps you find pleasure in music. Perhaps music gives you pleasure. Well, this too does not give you true pleasure. How? Well, if music gave you truly pleasure, then indeed having more and more of music should give you more and more pleasure. Correct or not? Yes. It should. And who has more and more music? The musicians, correct or not? The musicians, the rock stars, they are the ones who have more and more music because their life revolves around music. But how many of them turn to other things in order to find pleasure? How many of the musicians do you know? When you look at them and you read about them, they're actually happy in their life. Very, very few. Yet you find them taking drugs, and you find them indulging themselves in women, and you find them indulging in the most outrageous things in order to find pleasure. So if indeed they had more and more music, and therefore music was pleasure, they should also find a lot of pleasure and satisfaction. However, yet we find that this is not the case. They try and find pleasure in other ways. And so, ya akhi, my brother and sister in Islam, thus logically you have proved to yourself, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. And indeed, mankind is ever a witness upon himself. You have just proven to yourself, logically, O logical man, you have proven to yourself, O logical woman, you have just proven to yourself how pleasure cannot be found in money, and how pleasure cannot be found in women, and how pleasure cannot be found in sex and drugs and rock and roll. No, ya akhi, there is no pleasure in this. There is no pleasure in this. So where is the true pleasure? Where is the true satisfaction? My brothers and my sisters in Islam, there is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. There is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you in order to find the satisfaction that you're looking for, in order to find the purpose for which you have been created. And that thing is the Qur'an. Have you not turned to the Qur'an? Do you not see what Allah says? And let me remind you of what Allah says. Come, come with me. And let me remind you what Allah says. And Allah says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Is it not by the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find rest? Is it not by the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find satisfaction? Truly it is by the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find satisfaction. Yes, yes, this is how the hearts find satisfaction. Then if this is the case, the true satisfaction is only remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and satisfaction is the purpose of life, then indeed we can put these two together. We can put these two together and say that the true purpose of life, the true goal of life, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, if I was to describe to you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the glorified and the most sublime, if I was to describe to you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one word, in one word, in just one word, not two, not three, but one word, what would I say to you? My word, the word that I would use, my brothers, is the word irresistible. Naam, irresistible. Allah is the irresistible. You cannot resist Him. No, you can't. You cannot resist Him. He is the irresistible. He is the one who speaks to your heart. He is the one who speaks to your soul. He is the one who speaks to you, the one who's closer to you than your own jugular vein. He is the irresistible. My brothers, have you thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Hey, na'am. Look what Allah says. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. Indeed, we have created insan. We have created mankind. وَنَعْلَمُ. And we know. We know what his soul whispers to him. My brother, your wife sleeping next to you does not know what your soul whispers to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one above the seven heavens, knows what your soul whispers to you. He is the one who has created you and knows what your soul whispers to you. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. And we are closer to him than his own jugular vein. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his knowledge, is more closer to you than your own jugular vein. Ya akhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya ukhti, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is more closer to you than yourself. He is more closer to you than your own soul is closer to you. Indeed, he is the irresistible. You cannot resist him. If you tried to run away from him, أين المفر? Where will you hide? Where will you hide? Except to him. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So run away from him, to him. Naam. Run away from him, to him. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there is something I wish to remind you of today. There is something I wish to remind you of today. And that is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Akbar. Is Akbar. Do you know what this word means? Do you know what this word means? Let me share this, the meaning of, the true meaning of this word with you. And the true meaning of this word is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَضْبَطُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he gives the example of a person who does not obey him. He gives the example of a sinner, the one whose heart is free of the remembrance of Allah. And he says, do you know why? Do you know why? Do you know why your heart is free of the remembrance of Allah? This is the answer. And see what Allah says. Listen to this verse. He says, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Indeed, they did not give the true estimation to Allah. They did not give the true estimation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا and all the earths جَمِيعًا قَضْبَطُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ He will take all the earths, all the different planets Allah has created. He will take it in His grip on the Day of Judgment. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ And all the heavens and the earth, all the heavens and the skies that you see will be in His right hand. سُبْحَانَهُ تَعَالَى Glory be to Him. عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ How they associate partners with Him. Subhanallah. See how great Allah is. How great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you want to know how great He is? Well, listen to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Listen to what he said. He said, the example of this earth is like a small ring thrown into the desert. A small ring. You see a small ring? A small ring. Huh? The smallest pence that you can find, one pence, throw it into the desert. How small is that? How insignificant? This is the example of the earth thrown into the universe. And the example of the universe compared to the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the example of another small ring thrown into another greater desert. And the example of this footstool of Allah, the kursi of Allah, compared to the throne of Allah is the example of another small ring thrown into another desert. And how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then? How great is Allah if this earth is the example of a small ring thrown into another desert. And the example of this desert is the example of a small ring thrown into another greater desert. And the example of this greater desert is the example of a small ring thrown into another greater desert. So how great is Allah? How great is Allah? Don't you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take all of creation in His hand, on the tip of His fingers, as Rasulullah ﷺ told us, all of creation. How insignificant are you, O human being? How insignificant are you? From what has Allah created you? From what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you? Have you thought of this? مِمَّاءٍ مَهِينٍ From a measly sperm. From a very futile thing of very low importance, sperm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you from that. And so you have come now, and now you think you are greater than Allah. And now you think you do not need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've forgotten that the purpose of your creation is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. He says, Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the heavens and the earth, in every single handspan of the heavens and the earth, my respected brothers and sisters, listen to this attentively. In every single handspan of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created an angel. Naam, an angel. There is not a single handspan in the heavens and the earth except that there is an angel there. Naam, there is an angel. And this angel is either standing in worship to Allah, or either bowing in worship to Allah, or either prostrating in worship to Allah. And they have been doing so since the time they have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the Day of Judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the souls away, when Allah will give them death, they will say to Allah, O Allah, we have not worshipped You as You deserve to be worshipped. And wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu, and by Allah, by whom there is no other God than He, they have been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala since the time they have been created. Naam. When have the angels been created? The angels have been created before mankind. They have been worshipping Allah since the time they have been created. And they will continue to do so until the Day of Judgment. And on the Day of Judgment, even after a whole lifetime of worship, they will say to Allah, they will say, O Allah, we have not worshipped You as You deserve to worship. Ya akhi fillah. Ya ukhti fillah, O my brother and sister in Islam, how long do you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You will live for 60 years perhaps, and from those 60 years, perhaps 20 years you will sleep, and from those 20 years, another 20 years perhaps you'll be in work, another 20 years that is left from your life, what do? You play, and you will joke around, and you will spend your pastime, and how much time have you spent for Allah? Perhaps if you really gathered the amount of time you spent remembering Allah, perhaps it will only amount to a month in a whole lifetime, or perhaps even a whole week only in a whole lifetime. Ya akhi ya ukhti fillah. How much have you remembered Allah? And yet you think you will enter heaven so easily? You think you have a passport straight to heaven? Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the Jews saying, لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً They said, "Oh Allah," they said in refuting Rasulullah, they said, "Indeed the fire will not touch us except for a little couple of days." Like the Muslims say, "Qul attakhadhtum 'inda Allahi 'ahda?" Allah says, refuting them, "Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have you a guarantee from Allah? Do you have a proof from Allah? Do you have a security from Allah? Do you have a burhan, a certificate from Allah? Produce your proof then. Am taquluna 'ala Allahi ma la ta'lamun? Or do you say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you have no proof about, that you have no dalil about?" How many of the Muslims on the streets these days, they say, "Khalas, we are Muslimin, Allah will enter into Jannah. Allah is Rahman and Rahim. He is the most forgiving, most merciful." How many of us say this and we expect Allah will enter us into heaven? Huh? And that Allah will not test us? Subhanallah. This is how the shaitan has fooled us. This is how the shaitan has fooled us. Naam. Shaitan has fooled us. You will never enter heaven just by saying La ilaha illallah. No way. You will never enter heaven just by saying La ilaha illallah. Rather, you will only enter heaven when you say La ilaha illallah and thereafter act. Thereafter act. Or do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take you into account? Do you not hear, my brothers, listen to the story of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, a companion of Rasulullah. Once, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was with his students. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu in Kufa, when he went to Kufa in Iraq, he was with his students, he was sitting around. And so, you know, one of his students said, Ya Sheikh, I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I make dua to Allah that Allah may put me in the highest of paradise. He said, I make dua that Allah may enter me into the highest of paradise. Why should I ask for the lowest of paradise? I ask for the highest of paradise. And so Ibn Mas'ud, the knowledgeable companion, looked at him and said, you ask Allah that you may enter into the highest of paradise? Whereas me, he said, me, as for I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I was never even created. I ask Allah, and I am more worthy of asking Allah to enter into the highest of paradise. And I ask Allah that I was even never created, or that I was a tree that was cut and eaten up. Subhanallah, this is what Ibn Mas'ud used to make dua for. Ya akhi, ya ukhti fillah. This is the fear of Allah. The fear of Allah that has to enter into the heart. It is only when the fear of Allah enters into your heart do you speak like this. It is only when the fear of Allah enters into your heart do you think that you are not forgiven and that everyone else around you is forgiven. Subhanallah. Once Urwa ibn Zubair was a cousin of Aisha radiallahu anha. Naam. Urwa ibn Zubair, he said that once I was passing by the hut of Aisha radiallahu anha. And we all know who Aisha radiallahu anha was. She was who? The wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And she was 18 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. She was 18 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. And this incident happened after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Urwa ibn Zubair said, I was passing by the hut of Aisha radiallahu anha, and she was praying her Salat al-Duha. Salat al-Duha is a prayer that is prayed after the sun rises, right? After the sun rises, there is a special prayer that you can pray, a nafil prayer, extra prayer. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she was praying this. And Urwa ibn Zubayr said, I was passing by when Aisha radiallahu anha was praying, and she was reciting, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَ عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And so, and the meaning of this verse is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, manna Allahu alayna, and Allah gave us a great reward, and He saved us. And what was the reward? He saved us from the terrible punishment, a verse from the Quran. And I saw her crying, and she was crying, and she was reciting this verse. And so I went, Urwa ibn Zubayr says, I went away. And then I came back after many, many hours, 3-4 hours, many, many hours I came back. And I came back and I passed by the hut of Aisha radiallahu anha. Naam. He says, I passed by the hut of Aisha radiallahu anha. And she was still standing. And she was still reciting and still crying. The same verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us. And He saved us from the terrible punishment. Ya ukhti fillah. My sister in Islam, do you see how Aisha radiallahu anha was so afraid of Allah? Do you see how Aisha radiallahu anha, and she is more worthy, she is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more worthy of being happy that she will inshallah be in paradise. She was standing up crying to Allah, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save her from the terrible punishment that Allah has planned for us. Subhanallah. And do you know Malik bin Dinar, another great scholar of the past, another great scholar of the past, he used to stay up at night. At night he used to stay up. My brothers, listen to me, this is a true story. He used to stay up at night and he would grab his beard like this. Like this he would grab his beard and say, "Oh Allah," and he would ask Allah, say, "Oh Allah, Ya Rabbi, Oh Allah, verily you know those people who are headed for the hellfire and those people who are headed for paradise. Verily Allah, in your perfect knowledge, that knowledge which is not preceded by ignorance, that knowledge which is not superseded by forgetfulness, O Allah, in your complete knowledge, you know whether I will go to paradise or I will go to hell. Say, O Allah, I beseech you, I ask you, O Allah." And he's grabbing his beard and saying, "O Allah, which of these groups am I in? O Allah, am I the one who will go to hell, O Allah, or am I the one who will go to heaven?" Subhanallah. And Al-Hasan al-Basri, another pious companion, another pious salaf from the days of the past. He said, I heard once that there will be a person who will be removed out of the fire of hell. There will be a person who will be removed out of the fire of hell after a thousand years. And he said, "Wallahi, for the last 50 years of my life, I have been asking Allah to be that person." He said, "For the last 50 years of my life, I have been asking Allah to be that person." And do you know Imam Bukhari? Imam Bukhari, the great Imam, when he was writing the hadith of Rasulullah about the people who Allah will take out of hellfire, because they have no good deeds, but Allah will take out of the hellfire. He used to raise his hands up to Allah, like this, beseeching Allah, say, "Oh Allah, make me from that group." Say, "Oh Allah, I know my rewards will not take me to paradise. Oh Allah, I know I will go to hell. Oh Allah, please make me from that group who will be taken out by your mercy." Subhanallah. And we think we are headed for paradise. And we think paradise is guaranteed for us. How we have fooled ourselves. How we have fooled ourselves. Subhanallah. Is it not so? Subhanallah. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He says, subhanAllah, what a beautiful verse. He says, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Verily, there are some of you who are already headed for the hellfire. Allah informs us of this, that there are some of us who are already headed for the hellfire. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard this verse, he fainted, and some of the reports mention that he fainted for 1 month. When he heard this verse, he fainted for a month. He was unconscious for a month because of this, because of the effect of this verse. My brothers and my respected sisters in Islam, indeed death is a reality. Death is a frightening reality. Death is a frightening reality. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he says, "If you knew what I know," he said, "if you knew, O Muslimin, if you knew what I know." What is he talking about? He's talking about the grave. Naam, he's talking about the grave. And he said, "If you just knew what I know, then you would not find pleasure in sleeping with your wives." Naam. How much pleasure do we find in sleeping with our wives? A lot of pleasure. A lot of pleasure. In fact, it is one of the most pleasurable of things that Allah has given us. One of the greatest barakah and one of the greatest mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Yet, if we only knew what Allah has prepared for us, we would not find pleasure in sleeping with our wives. And he also said, "Had I been afraid that you would not bury your dead, then I would make dua to Allah. Had I been afraid that you would not bury your dead, then indeed I would have made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that that he may let you hear from the cries and screams that which I hear from. Meaning he's talking about the cries and screams of the people of the grave, which Rasulullah ﷺ used to hear about. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, had I been afraid that you would not bury your dead. Because really, if we were to hear these screams and the cries of the people in their punishment, we would not bury our dead. Na'am. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, had I been afraid that you would not bury your dead, then I would have made dua to Allah to let you hear from these. Na'am. To let you hear from these. Do you think you can escape from death? Do you think, my brother, that you can escape from death? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed the death that you run away from, then it will catch up to you. It will indeed catch up to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا, wherever you are, يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, verily death will reach up to you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ, and even if you were in the Buruj Mushayyada, in a high fortified castle, even if you were in a fortified castle, death would reach up to you, and it will find you wherever you are. Don't you ever think that death will not find you. Don't you ever think, يَا أَخِي, يَا أُخْتِ فِي اللَّهِ, this is a nasiha to me and to you. Perhaps death is just waiting for you outside the door. Perhaps the angel of death is just waiting for you outside the door. Whether you are young, whether you are old, perhaps just waiting. Perhaps, and perhaps, and perhaps. Subhanallah, there is no running away from this death. There is no running away from this death. And do you know what Allah has prepared for the person who is just about to die? Allah says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. He says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَتُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Look at what Allah says, beautiful verse. He says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ, and when the soul has reached the throat, when the soul has reached the throat, because the angel of death sits on your head and he calls the soul out. And when the soul has reached the throat, وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ, and all of you looking around the person dying are looking on to him. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَتُبْصِرُونَ, and our angels are closer to him, however you do not see them. You do not see the angels of death. فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ, and if you are indeed of those people who are not obliged to follow this religion, and indeed if you are from those people who are not obliged to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have been given a direct passport to paradise, تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, then return it back to the body if indeed you're truthful. This is the challenge of Allah. Can you give life back to that soul? When the person is dying, can you stop the person from dying? When the soul has reached the throat, وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ, and we were looking on, and the angels are closer to it, but however we cannot see. And indeed, if you are from those people who are not obliged to follow this religion, then return it to it, to the body, if you are indeed truthful. This is the challenge of Allah. Challenge of Allah. Do you know, my brothers, if you indeed died whilst you are in the state of disobedience to Allah, whilst you are in a state of being away from Allah, do you know how the angels will come to you? Do you know how the angels will come to you? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَى, and if you were only to see, إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ, when the wrongdoers are in the terror of death, when they are in the anger of death and they're shaking. Have you seen a chicken with the head cut off? Huh? Have you seen the chicken with the head cut off? And his soul is leaving it? And you see how much he's shaking it? Well, such is the person. Such is a disbeliever of Allah. Such is a person who is a wrongdoer at the time of his death. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ, if you were only to see the wrongdoers, فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ, at the time of the terror of death. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ, and the angels have put forward their hands. أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, take your souls out. Come out, come out. The angels are calling. Allah says, أخرجوا أنفسكم. The angels are calling us all. Come out, come out. أخرجوا أنفسكم. اليوم, today, تجزون. You will be indeed rewarded. تجزون عذاب الهون. With that punishment. With that terrible punishment. اليوم تجزون عذاب الهون بما كنتم تقولون على الله غير الحق. وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ أَنْ آيَاتِهِ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And indeed today you will be given and rewarded with a terrible punishment. And you will be given the terrible punishment because of what you used to say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than the truth. And because of the fact that you used to turn away from His remembrance. يَا أَخِي يَا أُخْتِ فِي اللَّهِ. Choose which side of the table you are on. Choose which party you are on. Do you know that in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed prepared for us a terrible punishment in the grave. Allah has prepared terrible punishment in the grave for those people who do not remember Him. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I do not wish to remind you of these punishments. For indeed this Islam is easy. Is that not so? The religion is easy. Is that not so? Yes, all these maulavis and all these maulavis, they come and tell you only of the fire and fire. Is that not so? But wallahi, I'm not from them. Wallahi, I'm not from them to try and tell you of only the punishments. No, my brother and my sister in Islam, I tell you as well of the good things. However, wallahi, I am a nasihun amin. I am a truthful advisor to you. I am a truthful advisor to you. I advise you as I see the status of the people. I advise you as I see the status of the people. My brothers, wallahi, the Muslimin are in a very bad state. The Muslimin are in a very bad state. We have reached a state of humiliation from the kuffar. Subhanallah, I don't think we can go further than that. I don't think we have reached the levels. I don't think there is any lower than that. Subhanallah. We wait until the people will come and take us. We wait and wait until the people will come and attack us. Subhanallah, look at the humiliation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people. Indeed, if you had been looking at the TV and if you've been reading the news, the articles on the internet, you will have been amazed at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed His enemies and our enemies to eat up the Muslims. Have you not seen how many mosques have been demolished? How many Qur'ans have been burnt? How many of our sisters have been raped? How many of our brothers and sisters have been killed? Have you not seen this? Have you not seen the little children crying? Have you not seen this? Aren't they our brothers and sisters in Islam? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us this terrible punishment? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving His people, the Muslims, the ones who is supposed to love, correct or not? It's the ones He's supposed to love. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishing us? It is only because we have forgotten. We have forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes. Yes, we always remember. We always remember the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim, but we forget His terrible punishment. My brothers, on the Day of Judgment, a book of deeds will be brought in front of you. Naam, listen to me. Do not doze off. Listen to me. A book of deeds will be brought in front of you. This book, do you know what this book contains? It contains every small and big thing you have ever done. Every secret thing that you've ever done, it contains. And the Zalimun on that day, wrongdoers will say, Mali hadal kitab. What is wrong with this book? They'll be turning around pages. What is wrong with this book? They'll be saying, Mali hadal kitab. La yugadiru saghiratan wa la kabiratan illa ahsaha. What is wrong with this book? There is not a single thing that I've done, whether it be big or small, except that it is in it. That it is in it. Naam, there is not a girl that you have kissed. There is not a woman you have touched. There is not a single lie you have told. There is not a single ghibah you have done. There is not a single haram you have done. Not a single halal you have done. Not a single good thing you have done, except that this book contains it. Even when you are in pain. Even when you are in pain and you said, it is written in it. And on this day, at this time, the slave of Allah, Abu Yusuf, the slave of Allah, Abdul Raqib, he said, from pain. It is written in that book. مَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةٌ وَلَا كَبِيرَةٌ. There is not a big thing, not a small thing. إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. Except that it is in it. Naam. And on that day, my brothers, on that day, the book will either be presented to you on the Day of Judgment. Now I'm talking the Day of Judgment. Will be either presented to you on your right side or your left side. Naam. your book of deeds will be presented to you as an indication of whether you will go to heaven, which is the right side, if the book is given to you on the right side, or you will go to hell if the book is given to you on the left side. Naam. And see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. And as for the one who has been given his book on the right side, فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُوا كِتَابِيَا. He will tell his people, ah, alhamdulillah, glory be to Allah, read my book. I have been given my book on my right side. هَا أُمُقْرَأُوا كِتَابِيَا. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَةٍ. Verily I knew that I would indeed find a counting on the Day of Judgment. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. So indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a great reward. And Allah says, فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. Then indeed he is in the best of dwellings, the best and the most pleasing of dwellings, meaning paradise. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ. And indeed the fruit trees are close. In paradise, whatever he wants is daniya, is close by. Kulu washrabu hani'am. And the angels will tell him, eat and drink hani'am in a merriful way. Bima aslaftum fil ayyam al khaliya. For what you used to do in the days of the past, what you used to do in the days of this dunya. And what about the person who has been given his book on his left hand? What about the person who will be given his book in his left? وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَهِ. He will say, oh, woe to me! I wish the book was never given to me. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ. Oh, how I wish that death was my end. Oh, how I wish أَكُنْتُ تُرَابَ. Oh, how I wish I was dust. This is what he will say. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَةٌ. Verily, my wealth has not benefited me. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَةٌ. And indeed, my authority in this life has been destroyed. I have no authority, no more ranking in front of Allah. And Allah will say to him what? Allah will tell his angels, خُذُوهُ. Grab him. خُذُوهُ. فَغُلُّوهُ. Then tie him up. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ. Then in the hellfire throw him. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ضَرُّعَ سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ. Then in a chain, the length of which is 70 yards, tie him up. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Verily he never used to believe in Allah the Great. He never used to believe in Allah the Great. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And he never used to give food to the poor. He never used to give food to the poor. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هُنَا حَمِينَ. And today there is nothing for him. There is no companion. There is no good friend for him on the Day of Judgment. لَا يَا أَخِي. Everything. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَضُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That day, the people will be enemies to each other. The good friends, the two good friends in this life will be enemies to each other, except for the believers on that day. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ. And today there is no friend for him today. وَلَا طَعَامٌ. And no food except غِسْلِينَ. And you know what ghislin is? When you have a pus in a wound, and the pus that falls off from the wound, this is the food for such people. The food for such people. وَلَا يَأْكُلُهُ إِلَّا الْخَاطِئُونَ. And no one will eat this except for the wrongdoers. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What has taken you away from Allah? What has taken you away from Allah? Allah says in the Quran, a beautiful verse, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. O people, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What has taken you away from Allah? What is it that has fooled you and taken you away from Allah? Why is it, my brothers and my sisters in Islam, that you wish to find pleasure and satisfaction in other than Allah? Why do you turn to other things to find satisfaction? We already proved to you, O logical people, from your logic, that there is no satisfaction in anything else other than Allah. And you've already heard why Allah is the irresistible, and you've already heard how the people, the true people, used to fear Allah, and you've heard about the death, and you've heard about the Day of Judgment. So مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. So what is it? What is it? Please tell me. What is it that has taken you away from Allah? What is it that stops you from practicing what you know? What is it that stops you from praying? What is it that stops you from giving zakat? What is it that stops you from doing that which is right? And what is it that takes you to the haram? My brothers, what is it? I wish to know this. You are a logical people, and you have heard, and you have faith in Allah, don't you? You do. So what is it that has taken you away from Allah? Let this be a reminder to us. Let this be a blatant reminder to us. Let this be a reminder to us. Nothing can take us away from Allah. He is the irresistible. You can't resist Him. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How can you disbelieve in Him? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. And you were not unforgotten. You were not alive. You were dead. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. Then He gave you life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. Then He will give you death. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. And He will give you life again. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And to Him is your return. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So go back to Allah. Run away from Allah to Him. Run away from Allah towards Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Inni lakum nasihun amin. Verily I am a truthful reminder to you. Subhanallah Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Tafaddal akhi.
My comment is that insan is forgetful. It's in fact the meaning of the word. And when we're in an environment or when we're given nasiha, we find that this raises our taqwa. It's the fear of Allah in us. Since these are truthful words, doubt no one can deny them. But the environment we're in is an environment that doesn't cause us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently. In fact, wherever you go, we are in an environment where we are encouraged to forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not reminded about His signs. We're not reminded about His legislation.
Yeah.
In fact, we're reminded about how we should fulfill our desires, how we should seek freedoms, which are continually discussed about in the media, in the society, in the schools, and other things. So, it's very seldom that we find ourselves being attracted away from the remembrance of our lives, how important this is, as you mentioned. So what advice do you give us for how we can maintain a state of taqwa in this society where the remembrance of our lives is negative?
This is your question as well?
Yes, I'd like some advice can you give us about how we could maintain our level of taqwa.
No.
While we're having to live in this society.
No. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Praise be to Allah and salutations be upon His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The brother asked a beautiful question, and that is, in the situation that we live in, I'll just repeat the question for the sisters. In the situation that we live in, we are constantly encouraged to actually forget Allah. And because of the society we live in, and there are circumstances, working circumstances, etc., etc., the remembrance of Allah is very little, and we continuously forget Allah. And then when we come and hear talks that remind us to fear Allah, we feel our hearts having iman and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the brother asked for advice how we can continuously have this taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, even in such circumstances. Really, my brother, the most important thing to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember and have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to have this thing called al-ihsan. And this issue of al-ihsan is very, very important. What al-ihsan means, my brother, is that whenever you do an act of worship, whenever you do an act of worship, or you're doing anything at all, whether it be eating, drinking, driving, or speaking to somebody, whenever you're doing anything, even in a meeting, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you, and He hears you, and He hears everything, and He knows what your soul whispers to you. So really, it is an issue of ihsan, it is this issue of muraqabah, it is this issue of knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is around you all the time, that He hears you, and He listens to you, and He knows what is in your soul, He knows what your soul whispers to you. And so you cannot at a single instant do anything except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And this is the muraqabah of Allah, this is to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is around you and knows everything that you're doing. So before you do that sin, know that Allah is looking at you. Shouldn't you be shameful? Shouldn't you be shameful? Before you do that sin or listen to that music, for example, look at that girl there, look at that girl a second time, for example. Know that Allah sees you. Isn't Allah worthy of being ashamed of? Is not Allah worthy of being ashamed of? Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely worthy of being ashamed of. And we can be ashamed, for example, if you know, a big sheikh is around, for example, or a father and a mother, and we are ashamed to actually do something haram, like drink alcohol in front of them, for example. Yet, in front of Allah, we're not ashamed. Rather, we should always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us and knows about us and knows everything about us. And this is one way and one of the most important ways to actually increase taqwa. And that is to actually always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you and knows whatever you're doing. The second thing, and also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of you, as if He is in front of you. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of you, how would you be? If the Queen of England was passing by, yeah, how would you be? You'd you know, adjust your shirt and make sure it's buttoned. Sorry, I forgot this is unbuttoned. It would be buttoned up, and it would be you know, nice suit and jacket and everything spick and span, and make sure there's no dandruff on your jacket, etc. MashaAllah, very spick and span. Yes. You know? Hello Queen, you know, be very spick and span, correct or not? And what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of Kings? The King of Kings, the one who has complete kibriya, the one who has complete pride, and the one who deserves complete pride. And if you were to worship or do anything at all, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of you, then wallahi, you would be a different person. You'd be a different person, completely different person, correct or not? If you prayed as if Allah is in front of you, you'd be a completely different person. The second advice to you, my brother, is to have good friends. Is to have constantly have good friends who will remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is extremely important. And the best of friends that you can have is a righteous wife. Best of friends you can have is a righteous wife. A wife that will remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And all you young brothers and sisters up there who haven't been married, make sure your partner, whatever spouse you choose, make sure she or he is a righteous person. Is a righteous person. Very, very important. Because if your wife does not remind you of Allah, and she's the one you spend so much time with, right? She's the one you'll be sleeping with, and she's the time that you'll be with in the house, and she'll be cooking your food, etc. and all that. And you'll be with her so long. If she does not remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed you do not have a good partner. So this is extremely important, that your partner be righteous and your friend be righteous, because your taqwa, your level of iman is only defined by your partner. So if you have good friends, then they will remind you of fear of Allah. And they will say, for example, let's go to the mosque. They'll tell you, for example, let's talk about this. Or they'll mention a hadith, or they'll mention ayah of the Quran, and your iman will increase. So it is very, very important. It is very, very important to actually have very good friends, and especially so in a place like this. Especially so in a place like this, that you surround yourself with good people. And the next most important advice is to stay away from all those things, or to remove all those means to any haram. So if you have, for example, in your house, a satellite dish, for example, that is beaming in, you know, X-rated movies, and this is your weakness, then get rid of that. Then get rid of that satellite TV. If it is, for example, that being in work or something is causing fitna to you or causing you to do haram, then change your jobs. Change your jobs or change your place of working. And there are so many things you can do, my brother, to actually increase your taqwa, and actually to make sure that your level of iman does not go down by all of this. And then thereafter, know this: a believer is like a horse with a habal, with a rope tied around his neck, and that rope is stuck to a stake on the ground. And you see when that's the case, you see the horse goes like that, right? It comes around, right? It goes around in a circle, it goes away, and then it comes around. And then it goes away, and then it comes around. This is the believer. His iman keeps going up and down. His iman keeps going up and down. He goes away, and then it comes around. And then it goes away, and then it comes around. This is the iman of the believer. His iman goes up and down, right? So it is a natural thing that you will sin. A natural cause and effect that you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you as a weak human being. وَكَانَ insanu ضَعِيفًا. And indeed insan is ضَعِيف, is weak. And he is given into sin. وَكَانَ insanu كَفُورًا. And indeed he is given into sin. Naam, he is given into sin. So know that you will always sin. And of course sin has a direct effect on your iman and your taqwa. It will bring it down. Yet, the best of sinners are those who repent. The best of sinners are those who repent. So always keep your mouth, always keep your lips fresh and moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that is the purpose we have been created, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Him. And I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you to have taqwa bi'idhnillah. One from sisters. Yes, the question says, if you know about Islam but you do not follow it, what are the consequences? Yes, knowing about Islam meaning that yes, you know what is obliged from you from the acts of Islam, but you do not follow Islam, what is the consequence? The consequence is very easy. The consequence is very easy. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, in a verse of the Quran, wherein the people of Jannah will ask the people of Jahannam, the people of Jannah will look down and they can see the people of Jahannam and they will say to them, مَا سَلَّكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. He said, what has put you in the hellfire? And do you know what the people of hellfire will say? They will say, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We did not used to pray. This is what they're going to say. What has caused you to enter hellfire? And they say, we did not used to pray. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we did not used to feed the poor, meaning give them the zakat. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. And we used to play around, joke around, play around, have a good time, you know, party our days away. نعم. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. And because of this, we used to think that the Day of Judgment will not come, that perhaps we will not die, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give us this punishment that Allah has given us. نعم. حَتَّى أَتَانَا الْيَقِينَ. Until the truth, meaning death, came to us. نعم. You see what they've said? So if you know about the religion and you do not practice it, then this is the end, my sister. Unfortunately, this is the end. The Jahim, the hellfire is the end, my sister. So really, the person who says La ilaha illallah, but he does not prove it with his actions, then indeed he is not a Muslim. He is not a Muslim. Just because a person can say La ilaha illallah and he does not practice, doesn't pray, doesn't fast, doesn't give zakat, doesn't do hajj, doesn't care anything about Islam, doesn't care anything at all, he just says La ilaha illallah, that's enough. Ah, mashallah, that's an automatic certificate, automatic passport to paradise. This is a big, big misunderstanding. A big, big misunderstanding. It is perhaps the most misunderstood concept that the Muslims have these days. The most misunderstood concept. That just to say La ilaha illallah and we will go to paradise. No, ya akhi, do you not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created hellfire? Who is he going to fill hellfire then if everyone says La ilaha illallah? Who is he going to fill it up with? No, ya akhi. Knowing Islam and practicing it is what is required. Now, one from the brothers, please. Wallahu ta'ala. One from the brothers. Anybody? No one from the brothers. Okay, we'll take another from the sisters. I think we'll try and answer things on the topic first. MashaAllah, a lot of questions from the sisters. Yeah, brother's got a question, okay.
What is the best remembrance of Allah?
Yes, the brother's asking, what is the best remembrance of Allah? What is the way to really remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The best remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best way to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is without doubt through the Qur'an. Is without doubt through the Qur'an, through the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself. So if you take the Qur'an and you recite the Qur'an and you read, for example, the smallest of verses, whether it be Surah Al-Ikhlas, and you say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ صَمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Just these 3-4 verses, you know, you have one third of the Qur'an, the reward of one third of the Qur'an. If you recited this surah 3 times, you are rewarded as if you read the whole Qur'an. What a great reward! As if you read the whole Qur'an. Just recite these surahs 3 times. Is this not the best of remembrance? Of course, this is the best of remembrance. To recite the Quran, to let your tongues always be moist with the Quran. Yani, this is something I always used to make dua to Allah for. So, oh Allah, you know, for example, when we were young, we were young like everyone else, and we were also given into haram. And then you made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your heart remember the Quran all the time. For indeed, the heart that has the Quran cannot have anything else in it. You cannot listen to music and also listen to Quran. No, you just can't. Allah has not given two qalb in the jawfain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made you two hearts. Allah has given you one heart only. Meaning either you listen to Quran or you listen to music. So if you find yourself listening to both and finding both are nice, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Check yourself. You know, probably go to the physician and ask, hey, you know, have I got two hearts? You know, check yourself out. No, this is not possible. You cannot like both that which is against Islam, that which is for Islam. No, that rather your heart has to be for this religion. Has to be for this religion. Naam. Now one from sister says, I read in a book by Dr. Abu Amina Bilal Phillips that the purpose of our creation is the ibadah of Allah. Is it okay to say this? Yes, of course. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created mankind and jinn except that they may worship me. And of course, remembrance is a worship of Allah. This is why this is the same thing, correct? And ibadah meaning to worship Him and remember Him is the purpose of creation. And what Bilal Phillips said is, of course, correct. Yes, from one from the brothers. Very, very reluctant to ask questions, mashallah. So I'm not going to eat you alive, guys.
Can I ask a question about music, you said?
Yes, go ahead.
I think certainly living in society here, music seems to be obviously in abundance everywhere.
Yes.
And you said you can't have a half of your house.
Yes.
How do you believe that music is haram? Is listening to music haram? And participating in events, that weddings, functions, where there is music, what does one do?
Yeah.
What advice can you give us?
Yes, thank you for that, brother. The brother asked a good question. He said about the issue of music, and that I said that music is not permitted in the religion, and that the heart that listens to music cannot also listen to the Quran. It is not possible to join between the two. And the brother asked, what about all those functions and then parties, etc., that have music in them? What advice do you give us on how do we relate to these things, and how do we participate in these events or not? My sincere advice to my elder brothers and sisters, my respected brothers and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran as an alternative to music. So it is not correct for us to let our children listen to music or to let them listen to radios, etc., or to go to parties and functions, etc., where music is played. My advice, first of all, is if these parties are taking place, if you are responsible for the parties, then make sure that there is no music there, first of all. Second of all, if you are invited to these sort of functions, then my advice is respectfully advise them that it is incorrect. Respectfully advise them that this is incorrect. And if that is also not possible at the absolute end of the tunnel, then say, I'm sorry, my brother, I cannot come. But if you started off at the beginning by saying that I cannot come, then indeed this will cause the people to say, the guy's an extremist, he's an extremist, or whatever. No, the first advice that you should give them is, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an alternative. Why don't you play the Quran? Why don't you play the Quran? This is nicer than music, of course, and this is something of the that Allah will give us a reward for, and not that we will earn sins from it, firstly. Second of all, advise them that this is incorrect. And then third of all, if absolutely all of this is not possible, then at the absolute end, then you say, I'm sorry, I'm unable to participate in these functions, inshallah. I will take your question, brother, 1 second. Then at the absolute end, then you say, I'm sorry, I'm unable to participate in these functions, inshallah. I will take your question, brother, 1 second. One from the sisters, before the sisters get angry. Yeah, we have to be just about this, inshallah. Okay. The world began with Adam and Eve. Does the current population really stem from two people? From a mathematical point of view, is it logistical? What? Mashallah, we are very logical people down here, mashallah. And yes, brother, this is very logical. I don't see how it's not logical. It's very logical. See, mashallah, because in the time of Adam alayhi salam, in the Sharia of Adam alayhi salam, it was permissible for a brother and sister to get married. right? So Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, our mother, may Allah be pleased with them all, and send our salutations to them. They had children, and they had daughters, and they had sons, and the daughters and sons married each other, and they had children. So it is logistically possible, and logically possible, and mathematically as well, it is possible that all of creation, all of mankind, as we see, actually came from them. I have no problem in thinking that. In fact, even the Darwin's theory obviously also says that that there was a beginning to mankind, and there was a particular man who was closer to the ape race than to the human race. And of course, we know as well that the beginning of man had to be either a man and a woman with this genetic 46 chromosome theory that we have. Yes, of course, the issue of Adam and Eve is correct, and yes, the world did come from them. Even if we can't accept it, and we can't see how that logically is, because Allah has informed us, and we believe in it. We must eat halal meat. What makes meat halal? Can we eat kosher meat? Yes, we must eat halal meat. Full stop. Correct. That's correct. What makes meat halal? What makes meat halal? There is more than 19 different conditions that make meat halal, and it's very difficult for me to go into that now. But the halal meat and what makes meat halal is basically that a Muslim who is an upright Muslim upon the religion, he slaughters a permissible animal, and that permissible animal is of course what is well known, such as a sheep or a cow or a goat, lamb, bull, ox, etc., camel, yes, etc., and he slaughters it according to the Sharia point, and this Sharia point requires that three of the four three of the four things that I will just mention now should be cut, and these four things are either the esophagus and the trachea, which is the windpipe, and the two carotid arteries, which is one on the right and the one on the left. So three of these four things have to be cut, and also that before slaughtering, Bismillah must be pronounced, and of course after this is cut, he must let the blood flow out and let the animal die naturally, and this is what makes the meat halal. This is obviously for domesticated animals that we have control over, domesticated animals. As for wild animals that we can eat, such as deer and all that, then we don't have to slaughter them, we can shoot them as well. Yes, you can shoot them. And you can shoot them in the head and they become halal. And you can take an arrow, for example, and then get them with an arrow, and this is halal. But you can have, for example, a hunting dog, and you can send the hunting dog, you can shoot the bird, for example, because this is a wild animal. Wild pigeons, for example, you can shoot the bird. You can shoot the bird, and then you can send your hunting animal, and the animal, whilst sending, of course, you say Bismillah, and whilst throwing your spear or shooting as well, you say Bismillah, and Bismillah. If that hunting animal, that wild animal that is permissible to be eaten, dies from that, then it also becomes halal, right? Okay. Yes, one from the brothers, please. Yes, brother. Oh, sorry, the brother before that. Sorry, Akhi.
So can I just go back to the issue of music?
Yeah.
I think you said that playing music as opposed to playing the Quran is that sinful? I mean, is listening to music a sin?
Yeah, the brother's asking. Sorry, Akhi?
Is dancing to music a sin?
Yeah, the brother's asking, is playing music a sin? And is dancing to music a sin? The answer is yes, my brother. Yes, it is. Because Rasulullah said that from the signs of the Day of Judgment is authentic hadith in Bukhari. He says from the signs of the Day of Judgment is that musical instruments will become abundant, and he also said that as the verse of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created in an individual two hearts. In the verse of the Quran, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he translated this verse, he explained this verse to mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created two hearts in the individual, meaning that the heart that listens to music does not listen to Quran, and the heart that listens to Quran does not listen to music. And this issue of the music being haram is a matter of complete ijma amongst the companions. It is a matter of complete consensus amongst the companions that music is not permitted. Also, from the signs as well that Rasulullah said about the Day of Judgment is that the female musicians will become popular. And of course, all these things that he's mentioning are by way of dhamm, by way of tawbikh, yani by way of putting down. You understand what I mean by that? Meaning when he mentioned that these things are from the signs of the Day of Judgment, he mentioned it by way of that these things which are sinful will increase on the Day of Judgment. Because nothing nothing good will increase towards the day of judgment. Only the bad things will only increase towards the day of judgment. So yes, music is sinful. However, what the only musical instrument that is permitted is something called a duff, and the duff is a small drum, and it has two balls that are attached to a string, and you go like that, and it beats. And this is permissible for women only, for women, not for men. So men don't use the duff. It is for women. And as for singing, singing is permitted for women. Singing is permitted for women, and women listen to the women's music. Women listen to women singing, not men. So we can't have women singing and then men also listening. Ah, she's a beautiful voice, mashallah. You know, no, nothing. That is not correct. That is not correct. That is not permissible, right? As for men, then they can say anashid, and they can say poems, poetry. You know, poetry in a nice, beautiful voice. And this is as far as what is permitted for men. But as far as dancing is concerned, then this is not correct. This is not correct. I mean, dancing to music and all of this is from the ways of the shaitan. Okay, one from the sisters, brother. Sorry. I'm sorry, brother. I won't forget you. You're next. Okay. If you're trying to practice Islam and you receive an encouragement from your parents, how do you deal? Huh? And if you receive no encouragement from your parents, how do you deal with this? Okay, if you're trying to practice Islam and you don't receive any encouragement from your parents, then first of all, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. So if the parents, they strive hard against you in order that you may do shirk with Allah, مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, and that which you have no knowledge about, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, then don't obey them, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, and then be with them and deal with them and have good manners with them in the best of ways, in the best of manners. You know, just because your parents might not support you in your religion, and just because your parents might even tell you to commit shirk with Allah, the highest and the worst thing, it does not mean that you have a right and open passport to actually be bad with them. No, your mother bore you whilst you were young. She took the pains. Your father is the one who looked after you whilst you were young. So you do not have a right to. Even if they told you to disobey Allah, you do not have a right to be bad to them. Of course, you do not listen to them, as Allah says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, then don't listen to them. وَلَكِنْ صَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, however, be with them in this dunya in the most righteous and the best of ways. So you come to them and say, oh my father, wallahi, you know I cannot listen to that. Oh my father, Allah has told me to do this and I cannot listen to you on this. Oh my father, I love you for Allah's sake. Oh my father, come to him, grab his hands, sit him down, give him a drink of water, kiss him on his forehead. The best of manners, the best of manners. Right? So if your parents don't support you in your Islam, then know that one day that some days just in the past you were also misguided. You were also misguided. So don't you have mercy for your parents? You must have mercy as well. That perhaps the hidayah has not come to them yet. Just because you have become guided, don't become arrogant. Don't become arrogant. Subhanallah, Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.